Roll call, Mr. Komisarek is absent. Excused absence, Mrs. Young?
Here.
Mr. Van?
Here.
Mr. Lowberry?
Here.
Carlton Roby, Acting Chairman, Andrea Hansen, Recording Secretary. First on the agenda, we will approve our minutes from the previous meeting.
Also move to accept the January 8th, 2018 minutes as published, as printed, or whatever you want to call it.
Second.
Have a motion to accept the minutes as presented. In a second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And I call the meeting to order as January 8th, and it is January 22nd. My mistake. First on our agenda this evening is Liberty Utilities to meet with the board and the public to discuss the upcoming project, which is a gas line proposal.
Great.
Yes, would you like to come up, please?
Sure.
Have a seat.
Oh, I got theirs.
Do you have theirs?
I was saying that.
Thank you.
You've already got one.
Yeah, I got one.
You've got one.
Thank you.
Oh, do I?
I'll take a new copy.
Thank you.
You said there were some changes?
We got plenty of them.
A little bit, yeah. I think when we spoke the first time, we hadn't had a conversation with Effie yet about the tank, so.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you this evening. My name's Michael Licata. I'm the Director of Government and Community Relations for Liberty Utilities. With me is Chico DeFont. Chico is the project manager for the project we're calling Granite Bridge. And also with me is Huck Montgomery. Huck is helping us out with government and community work as well. And so coming for you to discuss a project that we've titled Granite Bridge. I have just a quick little PowerPoint presentation that helps sort of guide the discussion. So I'll be working off of this packet here. So just a little bit of background on Liberty Utilities. There are, I should also say, please feel free to just ask questions throughout the presentation here. Really, you know, we're hoping this is kind of a bit more of a conversation than a presentation. You know, while we're here to present information, we're also here to listen as well and get some feedback from you folks about what we're talking about. So there are two companies in New Hampshire that are natural gas distribution utilities. Liberty Utilities were one, Unitil is the other. You can see on the map there our natural gas franchise territory highlighted in light blue. We serve pretty much the 93 corridor, Nashua up to Laconia. And these customers are served off of an existing interstate natural gas pipeline called the Concord Lateral. It runs from Dracut, Massachusetts to Concord, New Hampshire, and we interconnect off of that and provide service to our customers there. We have 91,000 natural gas customers. In addition, we also have 43,000 electric customers in the yellow areas, primarily the Upper Valley, Hanover, Lebanon, and the Salem area. And in addition to supplying our customers from the interstate pipeline, we also have liquefied natural gas storage facilities in Manchester, Concord, and Tilton, as well as propane storage facilities in Nashua, Manchester, and Tilton as well. And so we fill these facilities via truck throughout the year. And then when it's really cold and we have a lot of demand on our system, people are using a lot of natural gas for heat, we'll basically use those as peaking services. So we'll inject that propane or that natural gas into our distribution system to provide additional supply for our customers. So just moving on to the next slide, which is slide number three. So we're here today to talk to you about the Granite Bridge project. And really there are two components of the project. One is a new 27-mile pipeline that we're proposing between Stratham and Manchester. We'd be interconnecting existing facilities in Stratham with existing facilities in Manchester. And we're proposing to put that completely within the DOT right-of-way along Route 101. Back in 2016, partially in response to a lot of large energy infrastructure projects that have been proposed, the state had designated certain highways and state roads as energy infrastructure corridors. So 93, 95, 89, and this portion of 101 are energy infrastructure corridors. So we're actually the first project that would be utilizing one of these corridors. So we've had a lot of conversations with the Department of Transportation about what that process looks like, you know, where we can and can't be, how we might construct. And so far, those conversations have been very positive and a good exchange of ideas. In fact, also in your packet, we have some maps, which is our preliminary design drawing. We hired an outside engineering firm to do that design, and we've been working closely with the DOT on where that might be. The other part of the project is a new liquefied natural gas storage facility that we are proposing to locate out in Epping. Significant infrastructure, unlike the LNG or liquefied natural gas facilities that I previously mentioned in the other towns, Manchester, Concord, and Hilton, much larger scale. We'd be able to actually store up to 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas at the facility site. The tank would be around 200 feet in diameter, between 150 and 170 feet tall. And we're proposing to locate that on a piece of property that we have an option to purchase just adjacent to 101. It's 140 acres, and it's actually an abandoned quarry. So it's very advantageous. We can actually set the entire facility down inside the quarry, which helps with the visual impact. We hired a company to go out and basically say, you know, what does this look like in Epping? Where can you see it from? And because there's some pretty high tree cover, you're down in a quarry, there are only actually a few areas in Epping where you can actually see the storage facility.
Excuse me, has that been approved yet with Epping, or is that?
So we've presented the project to Epping as we sort of in a I guess private setting isn't the best way to put it, but we did meet with representatives for the municipality, and we're actually going to be before their Board of Selectmen on Monday.
Right. So that's not, you have options to have that piece, that's what it is.
Correct. It's an option to purchase, correct.
Okay.
Correct. Moving to the next slide, which is slide number 4. Really, you know, why are we doing this? What's the, you know, problem that we're trying to solve? I mentioned the Concord Lateral earlier, which comes from Draycott up to Concord, and essentially that's a pipeline that's been in service since the 1950s. It's been upgraded several times over its life, but it's essentially full. So in order for us to continue to offer additional natural gas service to new customers, we need more infrastructure. We need new infrastructure. The alternative is essentially a restriction on new natural gas service in all of our franchise towns. There have been other areas of New England that have had a similar moratorium on natural gas growth. So imagine you know, a restaurant in downtown Manchester or a manufacturer in the Nashua area would call us up and say, hey, we want to move to the area, and we would essentially have to turn them away. We wouldn't be able to serve them, so they would have to go to a different heating option, whether it's propane, oil, heat pump, whatever they decide to go with. The other areas that have experienced this sort of restricted growth have really seen just detrimental impacts on the local economy. So for us, we view this not only as really critical infrastructure for Liberty Utilities, but really for the state economy as well, in order for us to continue to provide natural gas as a heating and manufacturing option to customers throughout the state. So moving on to the next slide, just centering in on the pipeline and what we're proposing there. A new 16-inch pipeline, again, located completely within the right-of-way. It's the maximum allowed operating pressure, the MAOP. We're proposing to set that at 950 PSI. And what we're proposing is to connect the existing, that purple line there that you see out towards the seacoast is the Joint Facilities Pipeline. Essentially, there is natural gas supply. There's supply available on that pipeline. and we're proposing to bring that over to the Concord Lateral via this new pipe. The joint facilities operates, has a maximum allowable operating pressure, MAOP, of 1,440 PSI, and the Concord Lateral has an MAOP of 750. So because we're taking natural gas from this higher pressure line to the, not that 750 is low pressure, but a lower pressure line by comparison, it will naturally kind of move all the natural gas along. So while we're going to set the MAOP at 950, typically we'll be operating at around 750 PSI, which would again match the MAOP for the Concord Lateral. One of the really important aspects of what we're proposing is, because all of the infrastructure is located here in New Hampshire and we are only serving customers in New Hampshire, this is only designed, you know, we're not sending any of this gas down to Boston or to Connecticut or any place else. It's just for customers here in New Hampshire. There's no FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, there's no federal preemption over this project. So all of the approvals that we have to get in order to put this in service are state approvals. And so part of that is there isn't eminent domain associated with any aspect of this project. All of the infrastructure that we're proposing is either within the DOT right-of-way, that energy infrastructure corridor, or where we have we've come to an agreement with a private landowner to make a purchase as we did in Epping. So really a critical distinction there. Obviously, not an area where we want to go to.
Now that tank that you talked about in Epping, that would be the high peak time that you'd insert it in?
Yeah, in fact, you know, I always wonder how much to put in on the tank. Because we have a slide on it. But essentially, that's exactly what the purpose of it is. In the summertime, when not a lot of people are using natural gas, the price is really cheap. And so what we're proposing is to essentially take natural gas off of the new pipeline. So it wouldn't be filled via truck like our existing facilities are. It would be off pipeline. We're gonna cool it to negative 260 degrees. At that point, the gas turns into a liquid and we would store it in this tank. And then when it gets really cold, like it has been, we would draw down upon that supply. So our customers will be able to get the advantage of summertime price gas in the wintertime. And what we're estimating is by doing that over the course of 20 years, it will actually save our customers $240 million. So pretty significant cost savings. And it's not actually uncommon for local natural gas distribution companies like Liberty Utilities to employ liquefied natural gas to as a savings measure. So that's really the purpose behind the tank is a cost savings.
But you're going to want to sell more, so you're going to get more customers. So what I'm saying is that might not you're going to be more of a demand anyhow.
Yeah, and so and as we grow, the sort of fixed costs get spread out over more customers, so it becomes more economic as well. Okay. So yeah.
So our planning basically is factored in what our growth projections are. So as we look to add customers, we're taking what we've historically been able to, bring onto the system, and we've projected that forward. And so the sizing of the pipeline and the sizing of the LNG facility is appropriate to really meet our needs over the next 20 plus years. So that's our intention is really when we put in a pipeline like this, we want to put it in once and that's it, and not have to go back and it's in there once and it's going to satisfy our needs for the long term.
Great. So moving on to the next page, just focusing on the infrastructure that we're proposing here in Candia. Really, it's you know, how much of 101 is in Candia. So a little over 5 miles of the 16-inch pipe. Again, we're going to be located completely within the right-of-way. We're going to be on the north side of Route 101, the westbound lane. And again, you can obviously see in a lot more detail with the map. And we really think that this provides, you know, a lot of benefits in addition to not having to sort of negotiate, you know, each little parcel along the way. You know, being within the right of way also helps minimize the environmental impact. In a lot of areas, this is previously disturbed soil from when they built the highway. So, you know, it is the Granite State, so it's going to be a lot of excavating and trenching throughout. But, you know, if we're able to be within that right of way in an area that they've previously disturbed, that helps. And also, you know, from a we have to identify wetlands along the way, and you know, certainly being within the right of way helps reduce that impact. I mentioned we've had a lot of conversations with the DOT. One thing that they've made abundantly clear to us is 101 is a very busy road, and we are not going to be closing lanes down during high commuting times. Quite frankly, if you look at the maps, the right-of-way is pretty open here in Candia. It gets kind of narrow in towards Manchester and parts of Auburn. So that's really where we might have to work around high-volume commuting times and you know, might have to close a lane for a portion of time. Once you get further out, you know, it minimizes the likelihood that you might have really disruption. But throughout the process, you know, we'll be having full police details and be filing a traffic management plan with the DOT, and obviously communicating that to the towns. Moving on to the next page, you know, when we started putting this together, we really tried to think about how, one, you know, what are some of the issues that other energy infrastructure projects have you know, kind of run into, and two, what's really the expectation of the public? You know, how do folks, you know, if this was my house that this was going to run by, how would I want someone to build this pipe? How would I want someone to build this tank? And so our goal was not just to sort of meet the baseline requirements and check the box, but really to exceed what's required of us. And so for the pipeline, the federal requirement is that we need to be 3 feet below, 3 feet depth. We're going to have a minimum depth throughout the entire project of 4 feet. So again, exceeding that level. We're going to build the entire pipeline as if it's in what's known as a high consequence area. So when you're putting together a design for a new pipeline, there's a calculation that you have to do based upon basically population density. And so if it's in a really dense populated area, you build it to a different standard. It's thicker wall, it's a deeper depth. We're treating our entire pipe as if it's in a high consequence area, because quite frankly, if that's my backyard that you're not necessarily running through, but running by, that's of high consequence to me. And so, you know, we're trying to take measures to, again, do what we think folks expect us to do. What the public, you know, natural gas to some people is a, you know, scary fuel. And so we want to make sure that folks know that we're doing this the right way. A really good example of that is the liquefied LNG tank design. There are three different designs that you're allowed to build under federal regulations. A single containment tank, a double containment tank, and what's known as a full containment tank. And for our project, we went with a full containment tank. And so what that means is it's a freestanding inner tank made of a special nickel steel that's designed to hold the incredibly cold liquid, surrounded by insulation, surrounded by a second freestanding tank that can hold all of the contents of the inner tank. And we're proposing to put that down at the bottom of a basin, which provide, you know, an abandoned quarry, which provides sort of a natural impoundment, natural containment. So it's a tank within a tank at the bottom of a quarry. So if there were ever a leakage of any kind in the unlikely event, you know, you have multiple layers of protection. So it's kind of belt and suspenders, and then another belt on top of it. And so really that's our you know, goal, that's our perspective going forward. We'll have someone monitoring and, we'll have someone staffing the storage tank facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In addition, our control room back in Londonderry will be monitoring both the tank as well as the pressures on the pipeline. If they see a drop or any issues with the pipe, they'll be able to control it to cut it off, cut the flows off from there. So again, you know, sort of redundant systems built in there. So what does this mean for Candia? You know, we're in the business of offering natural gas to customers as a heating option. So we would love to offer customers here in Candia that option. We are governed by, just like a water utility, we're governed by really economics. So the you know, usual way I explain this is, if we have a natural gas main in the street, and you're the next street over and you call us up and you'd like service, what we do is our tariff with the Public Utilities Commission, so sort of our governing document with the Public Utilities Commission, says we can assume 8 years of your revenue, so the amount of revenue that we're going to receive by having you as a customer over 8 years, and if the cost to run the pipe to you, the line to you, is equal to or less than that 8 years of assumed revenue, then you don't have to pay anything upfront for that service. If it exceeds it and you still want the service, there's no requirement that anyone has to take this. It's not like electricity, it's just an option. But if it exceeds that and the numbers still work for you, you would pay a contribution to Native Construction, a CIAC, to get that service. And so really it's where we expand and how we expand. Again, it's based upon economics. For commercial customers and industrial customers, we can assume up to 6 years of revenue. And the other thing is, you know, once this is in service, it's not a one-shot deal like, hey, we built this in 2022 and you didn't have anyone, the economics didn't work then, so that's it, sorry. If you ever had, if the economics didn't work at that time and you ever had, you know, a large commercial customer interested in a piece of property and they had this access to natural gas and they were interested in that, we could always tap into this at a later date. So we would welcome, you know, that conversation, quite frankly, with you folks. We're going to have our business development folks start talking to some of the area businesses to start gauging that interest and getting a sense of what those economics might look like. In addition, we wanted to give folks a sense of property tax revenue. You know, it's significant infrastructure. So we do, you know, as a utility, we do pay property taxes. The tax rate here might look a little bit high. And that's because we rolled in the statewide utility property tax. We pay a higher statewide property tax than as a utility than a normal taxpayer. We pay $6.60 per thousand. That goes into the education trust fund. So what we did was really a pretty simple calculation. We came up with an estimate working with our engineer on how much the pipeline would cost us. Then we divided that out per mile, and then we just plugged that into, okay, we have 5 miles valued at X for the town of Candia. What's their tax rate? And that's how we came to the just a little over $500,000 in year one in terms of property tax payments. We did sort of plug that into a depreciation schedule. So the pipe depreciates over 52 years. And so based upon that depreciation, we're projecting around $15 million in total property tax payments to the town.
Even though it's on state property?
Yes. So we did a fair bit of investigation around that because we had kind of the same question of, hey, do we have to pay taxes to the town even though we're in the state right of way? And we spoke to the DRA. We actually have an outside attorney who helps us with our property tax work. And essentially what they told us was you have to pay on the pipe itself, not necessarily the value of the land exactly. So, you know, we'd be happy to pay less. But,
no, I just don't want the state to get it.
Yeah, no. Okay. Well, they get a share, obviously, as well as the county. But yeah, so that's the projection. Again, this is based on, you know, what the rate was in 2017, and as rates change, you know, obviously we would pay what the town assesses us.
And when you have year one, you have $550,000, and you have year one, are you talking about 2022 as being year one?
So the first year that the pipe is in service, yes. So
that's important, not year one that this whole thing starts.
Yeah, so right. once it is operational,
yes,
correct.
I understand that, right? It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, so not this.
Then it's that new truck.
So just to, you know, sort of highlight a couple points here. You know, we certainly think that natural gas as a heating option for residents and businesses in New Hampshire is really a critical for economic development. Helps keep costs low, and again, it's an option for customers. There's no requirement that folks take this supply. In terms of jobs associated with the construction of the project, we have again met with our engineer on both the tank and the pipe. We're estimating around 330 full-time jobs associated with the construction, and then once things are in service, around 15 permanent jobs, mostly around manning the tank, but also, you know, if we were to be granted a franchise for, say, Epping or Raymond or Candia, the three towns that don't have natural gas services, we're building out that distribution system, we would bring on additional crews to help us with that. Again, the approach using this energy infrastructure corridor, no eminent domain associated with any part of this project, minimizing environmental impacts as well. So just moving to the next slide, I mentioned the state approvals for the project, and the first approval that we need is from our economic regulator, the Public Utilities Commission. So we are a regulated utility. And so we made a filing on December 22nd with them. And what they examine is, number one, is this needed infrastructure? Do you need this natural gas Liberty utility? So as Chico said earlier, they'll look at our growth projections and say, okay, you know, this is how much you've grown. This is the contracts and supply that you have on hand to serve your customers. This is what you're projecting to grow over the next 20 years. Yes, you do need this infrastructure. So that's the first review. The second review is to make a determination that what we're proposing is, in fact, the least cost option available to us. And we did examine upgrading the existing Concord Lateral. So we would be contracting. We don't own the Concord Lateral. It's Tennessee Gas is the owner of that transmission line. So we would be contracting with them. They would have quoted us a price for how much that would cost, and it is significantly more expensive. That is an interstate pipeline, so it would be under FERC jurisdiction. So, you know, you are talking about eminent domain and federal approvals for that upgrade. And we certainly feel not only is this the least cost option available to us, but it really is the least impactful. We wouldn't be in a state right-of-way for that project in a lot of areas. Again, that pipe being in the ground since the 1950s, you know, has really, development's really grown right up to that right-of-way. So it would be a much more disruptive project. So we think that this is a better approach, and we need to show that to the environmental regulator, which is a lot of work. But quite frankly, you know, you look at some of the other infrastructure projects that have been proposed, and a lot of times opponents of them say, well, you know, this isn't needed, or this is just going down to Massachusetts, and hey, this is overbuilt. Here we'll have our economic regulator basically say, yes, this is in fact needed for customers in New Hampshire and only customers in New Hampshire, and yes, this is the lowest cost option. The second approval is with the Site Evaluation Committee. Folks are generally kind of aware about that process, you know, the papers with Northern Pass. But they really get into the weeds on the, you know, the siting. You know, what are your wetlands impacts? What's the aesthetic impact? Is there any impact to water quality? And so natural resources, historic resources. And so that's a fairly voluminous filing. We would certainly welcome the town's full participation in the Site Evaluation Committee process. They do certainly listen to town views. They ultimately have the jurisdiction and authority given the size of the infrastructure that we're talking about. But, you know, the town certainly has a voice in that process. And we would, you know, quite frankly, our hope is to You know, you look at this and we hopefully answer your questions through the process, and this is something that the town thinks a lot, makes sense and is good for the town and is supportive of. We're going to be making that filing in the fourth quarter of this year is what we're targeting. So leading up to that, we'll have our wetland scientists out along 101. We still need to survey both the proposed route as well as the right-of-way. We took DOT's design maps and sort of overlaid them, our maps, but you know they're a bit dated and need some updating. So in advance of doing any survey work, we'll certainly notify you folks, because oftentimes when we're out doing surveys, that generates some calls to local office saying, hey, who's this guy poking around here? You know, folks shouldn't be on private property, but you know, we're going to be near some backyards. So so all that work needs to get done, and we're targeting the fourth quarter for that filing. Just moving on to the last slide here, or second to last slide, I guess, timeline. We did sort of the initial outreach, sort of kind of one-on-one meetings in the communities, municipal representatives, and municipal officials, just letting them know, hey, this is coming. Don't want you to read about it in the newspaper for the first time. We made the public announcement on December 4th. We filed for the economics for the approval on the 22nd. And really, right now, we're in the phase of meetings like this. Chico and I and Huck were out in Brentwood. Two weeks ago? I was going to say last week, but it's everything kind of jumbles together. 2 weeks ago, we were out in Auburn that week as well. We're going to be in Epping on Monday night. We're going to be basically in all the different communities making public presentations to the boards of selectmen. Then we'll start, you know, planning boards, conservation commissions, again, really just trying to get information out there. Quite frankly, you know, we're happy to talk about the project. We think it makes a lot of sense, and it's something we're pretty proud of. And so we want to make sure that folks are aware of what we're doing. Again, filing with the site evaluation committee fourth quarter of this year. I think third would certainly be way too optimistic. And the PUC review takes about a year, just based on history. So hopefully we'll be getting a decision late 2018, early 2019. The site evaluation committee has a statutory deadline to approve within 12 months, but they can also hit the pause button at any time if they determine it's in the public interest. So I think Northern Pass is going on their second year. There's been 2 years for that approval. So we're hoping to move a little bit faster than that, but certainly 12 months is probably on the earlier side. And then once if we're able to get that approval, again, we'd be starting construction. Need about two construction seasons for the pipeline and three for the LNG facility. And again, sort of the optimistic timeline that we laid out here, having both in service by 2022. And then just the last slide, we do have a project website that has a lot of information on it. We really tried to think, you know, what are the questions folks are going to want to ask. It has all the maps available on it. It has that sort of visual rendering of the LNG storage facility out in Epping, and has a lot of info. And if folks have additional questions, you know, we did put up sort of a project email address where folks can email in and ask us questions if it's not covered someplace else. So with that, and just, you know, we included a couple just kind of fact sheets in your packet here. It's very similar information that I covered, as well as the maps for Candia.
So this supply line that goes up into Maine,
yes,
that's where you're taking off of, right?
Correct.
And where is that? Where is it originating?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The joint facilities is actually two separately owned pipelines that are not co-located, but it's one pipe that are owned by two people, and then they branch off. So one is the Maritimes Northeast, and that brings supply in LNG shipment containers in from Newfoundland.
Yeah, Canada, New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, thank you. In from New Brunswick.
And to where?
Down to Draken. So from New Brunswick down to Draken. Draken's kind of like a supply hub.
Oh, okay.
And so the other pipe that's on there is the Portland Natural Gas Transmission System pipe, PNGTS, and that brings supply from Ontario, Canada, and then comes over and actually comes through the top of New Hampshire. We actually take service off of it in Berlin, and then loops back down through Maine and back through New Hampshire. So we'd get supply from either Ontario or New Brunswick.
And the southern one is?
So the Concord Lateral starts in Drakett, but...
This is not that Tennessee...
No, okay. it isn't the Kinder Morgan proposed line, yeah.
Okay.
Going back from Drake at the sort of the existing pipeline network, it goes all the way back to the Gulf Coast in Texas. It's kind of a spider web in the United States. So,
What we've tried to do is use existing infrastructure, we're essentially just connecting the two existing pieces of pipe, essentially.
These places can supply the extra that you need. That's
correct.
Right. Really coming down from Canada, whether it's Eastern Canada or from Ontario, that's really where the supply points are. And on the eastern side, it's really primarily LNG. There's still some production off Nova Scotia, but that's probably scheduled to be retired in the next 3 to 4 years. So we don't even count on that gas coming down, but there is a lot of LNG import capability up in New Brunswick. So that's the primary supply. And then there's a lot of gas out in Ontario where multiple pipelines come into gas. Yeah.
Yep. So to be honest, this is like an informational thing only. You don't need our approval. It's like Northern Pass. As long as you get approval from the public, the utilities. I know you probably like
technically we don't need your approval, but
I wouldn't put that bluntly.
There was probably a nicer way to put it, but if we come right down to it, you really don't need
we would like your support.
Okay,
you know, and of course, you know, our intent is to bring gas to Candy, and so you know, we'll have to make a filing to get the rights to provide service to Candia. So, you know, I think that'll obviously be more of an impact where you'll be able to directly maybe influence the New Hampshire PUC as to whether you want the gas in your community or not.
But also in terms of siting the overall project, I mean, your support would go a long way with the site evaluation committee or others. If you see the value for your community, supporting the project could have a huge impact.
Right. Yep. Very good. Great. Happy to answer any other questions.
Anything else? Mm-hmm.
No, I just...
Yes?
This Patton Hill Road, on this, looks like it's going up and over. I don't know, you know, I mean...
Yeah, so a lot of times the reason you see sort of little juts in the line is really either slope or there might be drainage around there. So we're coming around and, you know, there might be some drainage or some slope issues there, and that's why it comes back.
It's not up over the road.
No.
If somebody sees that, it's... Ignorant as I am,
no.
A pipeline going over. No,
The pipeline doesn't go over. And in fact, areas where we might come across, and you know, I guess this is a good example, sort of, you know, wetlands or existing infrastructure or roadways, you know, to be as minimally impactful as possible, we might do some directional drilling there, not to impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I just have one. So, in working with some other towns, have you heard any? What are some of the questions that some of the public may have had, or the selectmen may have had that they did have concerns about, or have those questions come up as of yet? Because I know this is still early days.
Yeah. Right. So far the outreach has been I think generally positive. You know, obviously Epping has a lot of questions around the storage facility, as you know, anyone would, and so we have work to do to explain exactly what we're doing and sort of the properties of LNG. Really, you know, I think some of the concerns that get raised are around just natural gas as a heating fuel. You know, some folks are just opposed to, you know, natural gas as a heating option. That's not an issue that we can solve, because this is, you know, that's what this brings through. And we feel, you know, we have some literature in there about sort of the environmental benefits associated with natural gas compared to some other heating options. But overall, you know, I'm you know, we really took a lot of time in trying to develop this to address a lot of the issues that other projects have had. So, you know, really trying to minimize private property impact and, you know, that this is New Hampshire focused, New Hampshire based infrastructure, New Hampshire approvals. So, so far, you know, we haven't had any huge, you know, issues that have come up.
Right. And just one other thing. So in the timeline, you've mentioned ongoing public input, public outreach, and so on and so forth. Are you foreseeing that possibly like a public meeting in all of these communities to kind of go into this project in more detail? Because as you see, we have a standing room tonight. I think sounds like as this project moves forward, it would be imperative to have a public meeting where you have more of residents to hear the project.
Absolutely, and that's definitely planned. And so, you know, we'll be reaching out to, you know, we have a requirement, but in addition to, we would do it anyway, we have, we'll be reaching out to all the abutters along the right of way, inviting them to a public information session. The general public will be invited to a public information session, and we'll, you know, make a presentation about the project and have some, you know, areas where folks can learn about, you know, the construction practices and exactly what we're doing. So that is a critical element to this, absolutely.
Okay.
Is this your first pipeline? Because you're connecting with other ones. This is...
We do have some transmission pipeline here in New Hampshire. We have about a little over 2 miles in Londonderry connecting to the natural gas plant there. Just this past year, we actually completed a project on a high, we call it our high line, up from Concord going through Loudoun up to Laconia. We bring the natural gas supply on a higher pressure distribution line, so it's not the pressures we're talking about here. That was along 106 within the DOT right-of-way. Pretty much the exact, it's a 12-inch pipe versus 16, but pretty much the exact same construction practices.
That wasn't running last year, was it, a few years ago on 106?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot. We've always had a line there. We just needed to upgrade it a little bit, and so that was 2 years ago.
You know, I drove that 2 years ago. They're digging some pipes. I don't know.
That was us.
That was it.
Yep. Green?
R.H. White was our contractor on it, but yeah, that was probably us doing our work. Yep.
Okay.
Great.
Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Very nice presentation, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
See you guys.
Thanks. Thank you for coming.
See you again.
Thank you so much.
These are Candia specific.
Thank you.
Would you guys like it?
Sure.
Awesome.
I actually will be asking,
and I took down Michael's info, this PowerPoint and the maps, if possible, to have those emailed.
I think we could probably do that, yeah, and I'm happy to be a point of contact for you guys for anything as well.
Thank you, Howell.
Absolutely.
It's Huck.
Everybody calls me Huck, so.
I just see on the card. It's just
My bosses sometimes call me Howell when they're mad at me. Quicker.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it, folks.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Next on our agenda is to determine who will speak or move the warrant articles at the regular session on February 2nd, 3rd, 3rd. All right. Our first warrant article, Andrea's prepared the list for us, is our operating budget. Mrs. Young, would you like to present the warrant article 2 at the regular session?
Sure will.
And who would second that?
You should probably, as chair, do that.
I will second that on article 2. Our charity warrant articles 3 through, what are we at here, 13 this year, Andrea?
3
through 14,
yep. 3 is a block.
Would you like to move them as a block, Mr. Dan?
First of all, doesn't the moderator have to say we'd like to, or do we have to make a motion to cover these all at one time?
He will.
Yeah, he will.
He'll bring it
you
to
just,
the,
it's good to know. We're going to write it, and we're going to write it on your, we give you the booklets, and right. We're going to write to who's going to move and who's going to second.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're going to ask to have the people vote on all articles, are those?
Yeah.
Right. We're 3 through what?
14.
14. It's fine.
Okay.
You'll vote that.
So he's gonna move?
At the block.
Right.
I will second that. Dumb question, is Scott's not gonna be there, is he?
Yeah.
No, Scott's not gonna be there.
Oh, he won't be back by then?
No.
By the 3rd?
No.
Oh, he's not coming back in February?
I don't think so. I don't think he's gonna be there.
In January.
I don't think he's gonna be there for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the 4 of us will be doing that. Okay. There you go.
You're done.
Article 15, the Smithville Boyle Building Fund.
I will move that if you want.
I will second that.
Okay. Article 16, Town Office Building Maintenance Fund. I will move that one article.
And I'll second if you want. I'll second or move any of these problems.
Article 17 to $20,000 revalve capital reserve fund.
I'll do that one.
And Susan will second that.
Mm-hmm.
Article 18, $4,000 for the Fitz Museum trustees.
I'll do that one.
And a second by Mark, please.
Okay.
Article 19, $100,000 for winter road maintenance excess fund.
I'll do that.
And a second. Mr. Dan, please.
Okay.
Article 20, $150,000 Adams Road reconstruction.
Do you want me to do that one?
Please.
I'll get on that one.
Mm-hmm. Article 21, $50,000 fire apparatus capital reserve fund.
Yeah.
I'll second that. Article 22, $50,000 fire station infrastructure and grounds capital reserve fund.
I'll do that one.
And I will second that. $129,000 777 to the Smith Public Library, Article 23.
I'll do that one.
I'll second.
And a second. Article 24, $37,000 mosquito control program.
I'll do that.
And a second. Mr. Barlaberry?
Sure.
Article 25, I don't know if we need to recommend this or not. Is the town allowed to operate keno games within the town?
Then we have to recommend, it's just to put it out into, for the.
Are we supposed to recommend that?
To the
we're not considering
not,
that.
Not recommend, just moving it to the ballot.
I didn't know if people.
Are we supposed to recommend that at all?
I don't think so.
I don't think
that just goes on the ballot.
I think we just let that go. I think we should get rid of that line.
Well, no, we supported it. So it wasn't we actually had to put it on the ballot. It wasn't
I will move that to the ballot so that people can vote on that.
Okay. Whatever we have to do.
And I'll second it.
Okay.
I think more, it'll just be for discussion if anyone has it.
Article 26, $17,500 to the Candy Leaf Association. That was submitted by petition.
So we don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that.
So you're moving them to the ballot? So it's not.
Because it's got to go to the ballot.
Oh, so it's going to the ballot, right. Okay. Okay.
They have to be on the ballot.
Yep.
Okay.
You.
Right.
Yep. So we don't have to do any of the rest of
them.
We do have to do 27.
This is for the tax collector. We need to. That was her warrant article. To see if the town will vote to raise the purchase rate $426, 5% cost of living COLA for the tax collector stipend. That was recommended by the Board of Selectmen. I will move that to the ballot.
4-0. It's just because Scott wasn't here.
Scott wasn't here.
Right.
So, I mean, that sort of really doesn't show.
Only 4 of us were here.
Huh?
4 of us were only here.
Right, but I mean, people are thinking there's somebody that was objected to it. So,
because it would be listed. No, because it puts 4 in favor, 1 opposed,
or
1 extension.
Or it would list the extension.
Like it goes 4-0-1 or something.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Yes, thank you. And the second one is to see if the town will vote to raise an appropriate an agreement with the tax collector to accept prepayment of property taxes before they are assessed or due. A taxpayer may prepay taxes up to 2 years in advance of the due date if the taxes is voted on by the governing board. No interest accrued on any payment, nor will interest be paid to the taxpayer on any prepayment, which is later subject to a refund.
I'm not clear which ones of these have to...
These were the ones that the tax collector...
Yeah, I know what they were, but I'm not clear the process, to tell you the truth.
They're just a warrant article. They're just submitted, Dennis submits a warrant article. Okay. The tax collector and the treasurer submitted a warrant article.
Article 28.
All right.
Yep. So.
Okay.
All right.
And then Article 29.
Who's seconding that, Sue?
I'll second any of these.
To see if the town will vote to raise and appropriate and authorize the Board of Selectmen to contractually discuss on an annual basis during the budgeting process any wage increases for the tax collector's yearly stipend, cost of living, or increases due to the extended years of service. I will move that Article 29.
I'll second any of these.
And to see if the town, Article 30, vote to raise and appropriate $369, 5% cost of living COLA to treasurer's stipend, recommended by the Board of Selectmen. I will move Article 30 also.
I'll second that.
And Article 31, see if the town will vote to raise and appropriate and authorize the Board of Selectmen to contractually discuss on an annual basis during the budgeting process any wages increases to the treasurer's yearly stipend, cost of living, or increases due to extended years of service, recommended by the Board of Selectmen. I will move Article 31.
Russ, you want to second that?
Yeah, you haven't done anything in a while.
Andrew, you're marking them down and you printed them out anyhow, right?
Yes, I'll make a cheat sheet for you.
Well, it seemed like we... Yep. All right, Article 32.
Carlton and myself on 21.
It has no bearing on us.
Dan and...
Legal notice that it's unenforceable as of...
But, okay, there's the question. Now, he reads it. It's on some warrant article. Is there open for discussion? Is that up to the moderator?
Well, we have counsel there, and if counsel says it's not applicable, then it's dead.
Don't we state that?
We don't know.
Should this be stated that here when it's published?
No.
No. You'll discuss it at the deliberative session. They used to put to see if, but I don't think they can do that anymore.
Advice on... not
unenforceable, yeah. Unenforceable, unlawful, unenforceable, something.
Well, and here's the thing, if our town attorney says it's not enforceable or not
in the
legal,
DRA.
And the DRA says not legal, I mean, I'm not going to push it on the ballot.
We don't, it's by petition, we don't...
We can't choose.
We can't choose.
It will go on.
Well, no, I'm saying you guys can put it on there. I mean, two of us will have to put it on there, but I'm not...
No, you won't.
No.
My mistake, I apologize.
You don't need our approval for this either.
But the language has to change if it's not, if they say it's unenforceable, we have to put something on there.
Well, you can go vote on it, but then you can't enforce it.
It's unenforceable, yeah.
You know, you can't...
It's advisory only, I guess is the way they word it.
Yeah, he'll tell us.
Don't they, right?
It really isn't even that.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing.
You can't enforce it or can't act on it.
Right.
It'd be advisory said it should vote, the town adopt that. It's saying that, so, okay.
All right.
That was fun.
And that was the sad part. This is probably like a 4-hour discussion, I'm just telling you.
Don't say that. Well,
that's up to the moderator.
That's why we need to probably make it clear at the beginning that it really is...
Oh, I'm sure the council will do that.
Advisory only, or whatever you want to call it. And the person, and the people doing it might say that themselves, that it's just a...
why are they message doing it then?
It's a message. I think when
put up a sign then, geez.
No, when people feel powerless.
I'm done with that.
They do that.
I am so done with that.
We're going to move on. The warrant articles are completed for the end of the session.
Yeah, this is on the third, right?
And,
illegal things on the ballot.
And
yeah,
then we need to do board to authorize payment of payroll checks and accounts payable. Mr. Lobbery, would you do that, please?
Yes, I will. Payroll manifest 18th of January, $16,624.24. 25th of January, $16,667.02. Payroll sub, $33,291.26. Accounts payable, 18th of January, $40,876.95. 25th of January, $39,742.21. Subtotal, $80,619.16. Grand total, $113,910.42.
Would you move that, Mr. Dent, please?
Yes, I moved the accounts payable manifest and payroll for weeks 118 and 125 as printed.
Do you second that?
Mm-hmm. I'll second it.
Vote, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Lobbery. And that does it. Anybody, Mrs. Young, any other business? Mr. Dan?
Yes, I do. I want to just leave. This is a waste management 5-year extended contract. I would like everybody to just read it, and we'll discuss it in the next meeting. And if you would put one in Scott's, it'd be great. What it was is our manager at the recycling center was looking proactive because of things, the way places are changing. He was looking for an extended contract, and he contacted waste management. This is what they came up with, so we will look at discussion at the next meeting. It has to, if we want to accept it, we'll have to accept it at the next meeting.
Will he be here to tell us why this is beneficial versus what we currently do?
If you have any questions, let me know. I'll get the answers for you.
Okay.
I know quite a few of the answers, but I mean, if you have any specific questions, I don't want to go into it.
Okay.
I want you to be looking at it, and that's what
okay.
It's for, that you're aware of it.
Just one thing, Chief. I think 3 weeks up, we talked about 3-week period to ordering a cruiser. I think we succeeded in our budget expenditure for 2017. I think Donna had given me some information last week that there was, after the encumbrances, which included a new cruiser, there was like $37,000 unexpended to be returned back after the encumbrances that we made of $41,000. So I guess according to the board's discussion, December 28th, I guess you can go ahead and order a cruiser.
Thank you very much. We can get it done this week.
We're budgeted for half a cruiser in 2018, which we were going to get a cruiser anyway from budgeted money in 2017 and 2018. So we're going to get a year ahead here. Impossible. But we're going to get a car this year anyway, but possibly now you can get a car next year also if need be. Correct?
Yeah, we're going to get one.
We were going to get one now anyway.
Use it for 2019, right?
We're half a year ahead.
Yeah.
We had budgeted $15,000 in 2017. We budgeted $15,200 in 2018, which would have bought a car now. We encumbered money from 2017, so we're not going to spend that $15,000 that's budgeted for in 2018. Right? And we ended up with $37,000 approximately.
Offset taxes. I mean, all leftover.
Unexpended. So it was a tight budget, and I think everybody did an exceptional and good job. Thank you all. With that said, anybody else have anything? None?
Sorry.
It's all right, Andrea.
That's Sue's ring.
That's me. It's time to go.
I move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
We can't be that obvious.